In a world where gaming is everything, welcome to the Extreme Gaming Podcast.
How you doing, everybody out there? Did you notice my voice changed? It was amazing. It's just, you know, I don't think I can
didn't notice anything.
Yeah, I know.
It seemed the same to me.
Anyway, that was we affectionately call him Dave. He's an AI, but he's been around since we've been tinkering with the program that does the intros and does the segment intros and other funny things here and there once in a while.
My little girl loves Dave. She literally, every now and then I'll be walking through the house and I'll just hear her saying, "In a world where gaming is everything."
That's hilarious. That's great. How old is she? I forgot.
She's 11. Because, you know, 11-year-olds are talking memes these days, right? So she's just caught onto that. And she just randomly says it sometimes. It's hilarious.
It's indie, right?
Hi.
I'm going to do, hopefully she's not going to listen to this, but don't tell her, but I'm going to do a surprise from Dave. I'll talk to Dave about doing something for her.
She'll be well excited.
I'm sure. She okay. Anyway, Extreme Gaming Podcast episode 277. We are recording this on April 20th. You're listening to it on April 22nd. We only have two people right now. Trev had to take the day off. Matt got called away. He's hopefully going to rejoin us soon. But if not, we're just kind of motor ahead. So why don't you introduce yourself, Tarl, and give yourself a plug.
Oh, cool. Thanks. I'm Tarl, and I'm from the company Gamertech.org, and really happy to be here again. The guys have basically given me the chance to come on every week, which is great because I love it. So if you guys, if anyone's listening, you're in the market for a gaming computer, whether it's for gaming actually or even for content creation or any other purpose, please hit up Gamertech.org. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. So also get some of the paperwork, as I say, out of the way. If you want to join our Discord, you can always Google Extreme Gaming Podcast Discord. But otherwise, it's discord.gg/Extreme Gaming Podcast. That's discord.gg/Extreme Gaming Podcast. If you have any questions for any of us, all of us, one of us, whoever, you can go ahead and get onto our Discord and ask the question there, and we'll air it on the podcast. Or you can email us at info@extremegamingpodcast.com. That's info@extremegamingpodcast.com. Ask a question there or a comment or whatever you want, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Also on YouTube, besides the our podcast here, we have a new thing we've been doing called EGP Quick Breaks. The fifth one just came out, talking about EV Copilot and Elite Dangerous. So if you might want to take a look at that, those are video. And what we do is we spruce them up a little bit and add a little bit of stuff to it that will be a little bit different than the audio podcast that most of you see. Game night, we try to do every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. as much as we can. So if you join the Discord, you'll see 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of us playing whatever game comes to our fancy at the time. Gamertech, we already talked about, and socials, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, X, Extreme Gaming Podcasts, except on X where it's just Extreme Podcasts. I think Elon Musk has something to do with it. No, only kidding. So
what a jerk.
Now. All right, we're going to get right into it. Just before we started recording, we both knew this was going to happen. Oblivion, Elder Scrolls 4, Oblivion Remastered. Yes, it's called Remastered because everybody was running around going, "Remake, remastered, remake, remastered." But it was remastered, like we thought, has been released. Earlier today, they had a special running at Bethesda, and I was watching it. And I was completely floored by watching this thing. I couldn't believe how good some of this stuff looked. It was just great because I go back to Skyrim. I never played Oblivion. I know a lot of people did. I know, Tarl, you did. But I never did. I was a Skyrim person, played the heck out of that game. So this is kind of exciting for me because now I never wanted to go back to trying to play what was before Skyrim because, again, it's been a long time. Graphics and everything are so much better today, blah, blah, blah. Plus, if you play Skyrim, you can find an awful lot of mods that make it look really good if you want to go that route. But there wasn't as much on Oblivion. Although there is a group of people out there, I believe, or the last 6 years that I've been working on a mod called Skyblivium. And yeah, basically it was combining Oblivion and Skyrim kind of in one thing. And it was interesting because they caught up with some of those guys, and I asked them, I says, are you kind of pissed off that the remaster is coming out now?
It's bad timing, huh?
Yeah, exactly. But it was funny. It was a totally opposite reaction. They said that they're completely happy about it. And they're looking forward to how good it's going to be. They care more about the game than the fact that they spend so many years doing things.
Dude, that's great. That's such a nice sentiment.
And there is also a group of people out there that say that regardless of what or how good Oblivion Remastered is, they're still going to pick up on Skyblivium and probably mess with it too. Some of the hardcore guys. So that's cool. Charles, you played it how long ago? The 20 years ago or what?
when it came out. I don't even remember what I was. It's got to be about 20 years, right?
It is 20. Yeah, it is 20.
Damn, God, that's a long time.
So you're when you seen is going to really well, you saw the trailer. The trailer's out right now.
I watched the trailer. Yeah, I watched the trailer and it looks great. It sounds great. They must have redone some of the sounds and everything as well, because the whole package just, you know, the look and the feel just looks really, really good. Yeah, I'm very excited.
And before anybody thinks that they went in there and wholesale changed everything, not quite. What they did is, yes, they did add some dialogue, new dialogue to it, but the majority of the dialogue that was already there, they basically either got the actors that did it originally to redo some stuff, and or audio enhanced what was done before.
Nice.
For instance, and I had no idea, when the game opens, you see the Emperor, and you saw the Emperor in the trailer. I had no idea Patrick Stewart did the voice.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming, I go, oh, well, okay, because I didn't know. So I was kind of pleasantly surprised to hear that. I was kind of like, oh, cool, okay, this is neat. I don't know if there was any other stars that worked on it besides...
He was the big name. I don't know if there was any other big names, but he was the big name.
Yeah, cool. So that was really kind of neat for me. As I said, I'm looking forward to it because... And it's funny, I was watching some video on as the thing was going on, they're making some comments. And one of the guys said, like, well, I guess I'm not really spoiling it, but... And he started to say something about Oblivion, and since I've never played it, I quickly muted him on the video because I don't want to know. If I can help it, I don't want to know anything.
I'm not going to spoil it because, you know, everyone's played it originally anyway, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I hear it by accident, I'm not going to go nuts, but I'm going to try to not hear that. So don't say anything, Tarl. So...
No. I do have some concerns, though. And whilst hang on. Firstly, we talked last week about remake versus remaster, right? So they've said it's a remaster. So in my understanding, a remaster is essentially they've kept the game the same as it is, the mechanics roughly the same as it is, maybe added some quality of life stuff, but haven't changed anything fundamental about the game, but they've just given it a new lease of life, you know, a brand new coat. Whereas a remake is more like the new Final Fantasy VII, where they've changed a lot of things fundamentally. They've remade it rather than just giving it a remaster.
I think what this is, it's beyond the remake. Like when you started explaining it, you actually are talking more about a remake until you get to the point where they changed certain things that qualify to become a remaster. I can tell you that it wasn't a situation like Dead Space where they really did ground up it. I mean, they used the original audio and the music, but that, other than that, they tore it all down and built it all back up again, it was great. It isn't quite like that this time. They did a lot of work, but not quite maybe tore it down, build it up kind of thing. They used Unreal 5, so they obviously went in there and... in fact, actually, Bethesda hired a company called Virtuous that did most of the work with their overseeing. And what was cool about it is these guys are all like big time Elder Scrolls fans. So you could tell they really wanted to.
That's promising.
And they wanted, and I think Bethesda, to their credit, made sure of that. In fact, what was really interesting is when I was watching this, it was about, I think, a 20 minute or 25 minute presentation. They're at the Bethesda offices, and what was funny is they brought up about five people that worked on the game 20 years ago, And they actually showed, it was great. They actually showed pictures of what they, how young they were then.
Yeah, yeah.
And they showed pictures of them working on the, and even some video too back then of them working on the game and stuff, which is so great. You see these old computers, right? And they're trying
that
to.
That is really cool.
And then you, then they interview them now and they're like talking about it and that they were involved in, you know, the remaster, except like stuff like that. So kind of like Bethesda was the granddaddy. And then they in turn hired Virtuous, but they kept looking at what Virtuous was doing. And okay. since they were all fans, including the people from Virtuous, I really got the feeling from watching it that they really, really care about what they were doing, which is a good,
good.
Thing. That's a big, don't really...
yeah, that's a big plus for me because my real concern is that, and I think we've touched on this before, but the... In the time between Oblivion and Skyrim, there was a lot, I think, of simplification, you know, a lot of dumbing things down and a lot of the game kind of holding your hand a lot. So, you know, systems and mechanics were all like really simplified. And because of that, I just didn't get on with Skyrim as much. You know, if I'm playing an RPG, I want it to be not like too complicated, but you know, complex. I want it to be interesting so that there's, you know, real longevity to it, you know, rather than just kind of looks good and is, you know, has a nice skin on top. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's interesting when you talk about Oblivion and Skyrim, there's different camps of people out there. Some of them say that Oblivion was the best of the bunch. Some say Skyrim is the best of the bunch. Some like both, but there's always that little battle going on. But that's kind of cool because that just shows you how good the games are that they can actually talk like that. When you have when you have that kind of emotion, then you're going like, yeah, but Skyrim this and yeah, but Oblivion that's all good stuff, you know, and everything. And I think they were wise to choose Oblivion, not just because of it being older, but because from everything I know, and I don't know that much about Oblivion, it was the turning point for the series and also a big change in gaming at that time. In fact, it was funny. We were talking a little bit on whether game creation has gotten lazy. And some of the videos that I saw where they were talking about this fact were bringing up both Oblivion and Skyrim clips and then comparing it to the new games today.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see some of this, yeah, of course, the new games, the graphics look better. But when you really start looking at the story and how it unfolds and how the characters act, it was much better back then than some of the games today. I'm not going to say all of the games today are like that, but a lot of them are.
And yeah, I think there's just more TLC put into them, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they actually just instead of... unfortunately, we talked about it before. It has to do with shareholders and blah, blah, blah. But again, it's not always true because other smaller guys... have been doing a great job in Shrouded, the new Adam Fall by Rebellion. These are companies that are much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But putting the care into it makes it feel better. When I was watching this video presentation, immediately I could see things that were going on and how the characters were acting and how things were kind of unfolding. That was just, it seemed like it was new, or what was old is new again. That's the oldest phrase, right?
Yeah.
And it is something that was lacking in games like especially Avowed. I use that as an example. And also Dragon Age Veiled Guard. If people think that those are the best games right now, you have no clue as to what it could have been if they had just taken their time like they used to with the old games. So one of the things as I was watching this, and you'll like this, Tarl, is that when they were talking, they said they wanted to be very careful on not changing the dialogue in the game, they only adding some to it here and there, not changing the way that the characters all acted and reacted and et cetera. I mean by this? There's a lot of things that they don't have in games like today, where when you walked into a place to buy as a character to buy something from the shopkeeper or whatever, the shopkeeper would, you know, exchange stuff. If you tried to steal something, the shopkeeper saw you, got mad, tried to grab something to kill you.
Yep, or shouted for the police or whatever.
Shouted for the police, exactly. And then the guards come in and they say, "Stop, intruder." I loved it. The lines are great, you know. "You have digressed the law. You will be arrested." All this. All of that is still in the game. Every bit of it.
But I'm
watched clips.
I'm reminded of this clip I saw. I think it was in Starfield, where you can walk around town just shooting people and killing them, and nothing happens.
No. Well, the same thing in Avowed. I started to play Avowed. I maybe played 20% of it when I was noticing this stuff, and then somebody made a video on it that showed even how bad it got. And essentially, I would walk into town, and the characters there are like they're barely conversing, they're barely moving, they stay in one spot. And I go up there and I just see if anyone, notice I'm there. They don't take any note that I'm there whatsoever. I can shoot, guns at them or slice them with a sword. They don't get harmed. They don't die. Nothing happens to them. And nobody comes after me for doing it. And nobody, it's almost like they don't even know I'm there.
I tell you what is, Gray. It's the immersiveness, right? Because I think it was you that sent me this video when we started talking about the, games, modern lazy games, the lazy thing, right? Is that table? Do you remember the table where was that even in Oblivion? I can't remember.
What they meant was in Avowed, they were talking about normal things inside the game that you would expect to happen.
Yeah.
They were showing things that seem normal to us. Go ahead.
Yeah. So you've got the table, right? And the guy comes in and, he's got his sword and he smashes his sword down on the table. And there are things, all the plates and the cups and things, they're all spilled all over the place and things are falling over, little candlesticks are falling and things like that. And then you've got examples of the modern game where, you do the same thing and nothing moves. The table, everything on the table is just static. Now, that in itself is not like any big game breaking or making thing, but it's all about immersion, man. It's all about making me feel like I'm actually in this world. And if I feel like I'm in this world, I want to continue being in the world and I want to continue playing. But if I'm not feeling the immersion, I'm probably just going to get bored of it and think, this is just like shit. Lazy.
I think people don't understand when we talk about on the surface level, especially maybe with some younger people, you think like, oh yeah, who cares? You put the sword down or you do this or do that. Who cares if the things move or fall down? But it's not the fact of that one scene that it did that. It's a cumulative effect of destroying the immersion. You don't realize that the immersion has been destroyed until you're far enough into it that you're going like, wow, something's just not right with this. And like you're saying, and the other thing that proved the point that you were making was when they showed the video, they showed a guy with a sword, swinging just for the hell of it on all the stuff that was on the table. Everything he touched flew away. He would just swing his sword, things would break, things would fly around, everything. And when you go to a game like Avowed and some other ones, the guy's sitting there swinging and the things just sit there. They're indestructible. They don't move. They don't get a dent. They don't do anything.
It's like in films when characters make really bad like choices and their motivations just seem wrong compared to what their characters are supposed to be. It just makes you it brings you out of the zone. It makes you suspend your disbelief, and that's not good for storytelting and enjoying the story.
Exactly, it's so immersion breaking, and for me, I want as much immersion as possible that you can do within reason. Because it just makes the whole thing, because when you're involved in a game like when I was playing Skyrim, I could play for hours. I wouldn't even know the time went by. I was just so into it. It had you totally enthralled. Like you were one of the actors in the movie. It's the best way I can explain it.
It
doesn't matter if you're not a bad, good actor. The point is that as the character, you're a good actor.
So you're in the movie. I'm hoping that they don't change too much about the mechanics in Oblivion. I'm hoping that it is just, a new lick of paint, and they've done some quality of life stuff, and they've generally left the game as it was. That's my hope. I don't know. I've not seen enough about it yet because it's literally only today, right? So I'm definitely going to play it.
I went a little further than you, but I don't know enough to say everything. All I can say is that when I watched the presentation, they made a point of the fact that they did not. I'm not going to say changed. It more or less improved on some things. Like when we're talking about the battle mechanics and stuff, all they did to improve it a little was that in the old original game, when they swung their sword or they hit something, you would have no sound effect. You don't hear the clink, clank, chunk, whatever those kind of sound effects. and maybe like this, the sparkle of the blade, or maybe if they're throwing a sorcery effect, you would see trails and effects. And so that's what they added to the game. So now all of a sudden the guy, when he's fighting, he's doing the same motions as normal, but this time when he connects, you're hearing clang, boing, bing, all these different noises.
All right.
Yeah. And it's, so that was cool because that made sense. So, they didn't change. You know, the only thing they said they changed in the mechanics was something that people had complained about even back then. And they said that the balancing wasn't quite right. So this is a bona fide complaint even back 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So they did rebalance some of it and some of the characters and so forth, so that now it can be a little more the way it's supposed to be. So cool. That was okay. Another change
that's,
they made.
That's really encouraging. I'm getting very excited about this.
I am too, because when I saw this, I was the same as you, man. Please don't change a bunch of crap, please. Yeah. And I hadn't even played the game, you know, before. So I was really happy with what I saw. I mean, I'll tell you, everybody on the internet's going completely bonkers, because once that was over, I started just watching YouTube to see what would happen. More and more and more videos start getting posted up, and everybody's playing it live. You know, like right now,
because it just came out of nowhere, right? I mean, well, we've been kind of expecting it. Well, they've been saying it's coming, but they didn't give a date.
We had leaks. They said the worst kept secret.
Yeah,
of when it was going to come out. So they kept on saying, you know, sometime in April, the bottom part of April, la la la. Then it came out that it was supposed to happen on the 21st. It didn't, but the announcement did. And then it actually fully came out today on the 22nd. Nice. It'll keep people busy for sure until if and when they ever do Elder Scrolls 6. I'm not holding my breath.
So here's a question for you, Gray. Are you going to be immediately downing your Assassin's Creed gameplay and changing it to Oblivion?
Well, I am going to try to split the time evenly between the two somehow, because I'm having a lot of fun on Assassin's Creed as well. But I definitely want to get into Oblivion. This is one of those times, you know this as well as I do. You get into an issue where there's just too much really good stuff to play, man. I don't know what's going on.
It's not enough.
I can't play it all. It's impossible. Yeah. I mean, I'm playing AC Shadows, like you said. I'm dying to get into the Oblivion now that it came out, and then I haven't touched Atomfall. And you know, yet, and I've been, and they have 2 million players already on that, so I know it's doing well. And then Expedition 33 is coming, I think this week. And I've heard really super things about that one. I'm kind of like,
what a terrible position to be in, huh? There's two million good games for me to play.
I would definitely rather be in this position for sure. Are you going to jump right into Oblivion now that you?
I don't get a lot of time to game these days, which is a real shame, but I think I maybe get 1 or 2 hours a week, and I probably will spend it playing Oblivion. Yeah. I'll probably split it between, I'm currently going through all of the old 2D Pokemon games. I'm currently playing Black and White 2. So when I'm not playing that, I think I'll be playing Oblivion.
What you got to do is you got to get your daughter interested in Oblivion, then you'll be playing more hours of it.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Got to get her away from YouTube Shorts first, though. She watches YouTube Shorts like they're going out of fashion.
Speaking as a side note on YouTube Shorts, which is, hey, look, we do shorts here at EGP and everything. I get it. But ever since AI has gotten so big, oh my God, there are so many shorts made with AI. Most of them, you can tell they're AI pretty much. But I watch one or two of them, and I see people falling for this. There was one where there was a short of a goat, mountain goat, jumping from one like little cliff to another cliff. There's no way this guy is going to make it, right? But they wanted to do this video. So the whole thing was all AI generated. And you could tell something just didn't look natural at all the way it was happening. And then I was watching closer to see if I could see anything. And there was a part where the front legs or front legs, when the goat reached out like this, right? A third leg appeared. I could see it. It wasn't there for long, but I did see it, you know, and stuff. And then I was reading the comments. Do you know that that thing got like millions of views? And I'm sitting there, I'm sitting there reading the comments, and people are going like, oh, it's so wonderful that he made it across.
Yeah, I can't believe he made it.
It was just so beautiful. We should see more, you know, video like that. That was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the next comment would be, I says, are you high? I said, that's AI. You're not watching anything real.
Man, it's hard to tell these days, you know?
I consider
myself pretty tech savvy. And also, you know, I'm quite a curious person. So I'm kind of looking into stuff a lot, you know, reading mm-hmm. and trying to understand all new things. But I see some of these AI videos, these AI pictures, and I think, is it AI? I think so. It's hard to tell now.
The amazing thing is and I'm going to cover some stuff in my AI corner today, but it's exponentially happening so fast that if we think the videos are good now, just wait, especially with shorts, because shorts don't have to be very long. Mm. So more and more people are going to be sitting there falling for this stuff. I'm waiting for somebody to come out with something that's hopefully free, but some kind of a free tool where if you didn't know and you really wanted to know, you could pass this thing through a web-based tool that will say, yep, it's AI. You know, I'm sure there's people are working on it. You got to. Because some people that's are going to be going, though, is that real? Pardon?
I think it'll be tough. I mean,
if you talk to the people who create the AI, they know how to create something that'll tell you.
Right, but does any people that actually are creating the AI, do they want actually anyone to be able to tell whether it is or isn't, right? Because this is their product.
Probably not, but you know what? I think the people that don't want you to know are the ones that are creating the videos more than the ones that make the AI. I think people you can see, you know, unfortunately in some people that they'll go and they'll try to make these videos, you know, obviously for whatever reasons, but they basically are taking advantage kind of, I'm not going to say,
but
you know.
I still think the people that are creating the actual AI tools still will be in that camp that they don't want you to know because, you know, the people that are using their tools, they want to be essentially on their side, right? Because they want the narrative to be that this is a product that, you know, does its job correctly.
The thing I think that's funny with AI too is that they act like it's proprietary, but what happens is that a lot of people learn how to do things that they spend millions on trying to figure out how to do. Somebody comes along and figured it out a lot faster and has already got it up and running.
Hey, it's Matt, like, look, the AI is quite simply the wild, wild west at the moment of the technology world, right? It is absolutely wild. And there are the whole industry is moving so quickly and without oversight. And what's the other word I'm looking for? You know, when, you know, controls and things mm-hmm. in place, you know, those will come. But at the moment, the technology is moving too fast, you know?
I just hope that they catch some of the people that do like to be unscrupulous and start, you know, can see them using AI to try to weasel money out of people.
Trying to swindle old grannies, you know, that's the sort of stuff that makes me sad. I hope that there are protections and things put in place for those types of people.
Now, I think to be fair, though, on the other side of the coin, there are some very creative people out there that are making some really interesting stuff with AI. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to poo-poo the fact that they're not creative. They are. And I've seen some stuff. I've seen a lot of stuff that looks absolutely fabulous. And some of the imaginations of some of these people are pretty cool. It also opens up something that for probably just you and I even that I consider myself a creative person. I worked in the broadcast industry, did commercials and all this stuff like that. But now you could actually express your creativity so much easier than before, because before, you know, I can't draw worth a crap. I can draw like a stick figure. I mean, that's about as far as it goes, you know, and stuff. And I always used to love my nephew, because my nephew is in computer graphics. He was in it when it started. And he's a great artist, you know, and he can do this stuff. And I always, man, I wish I could draw like that. Well, for people that can't draw, you can actually go on to some of this stuff. Just learn how to write prompts. That's a little bit of a curve, but you can learn it. And this thing will start pumping out the stuff that you wanted to do, but you can't draw it. You know? And I think that's a cool thing.
Yeah, it really is cool. And I personally, I'm a little bit conflicted. And I think I've probably shown and talked about this feeling that I have about AI a few times, but you know, as you know, I own a business and you know, we sell computers, so But I am by no means a professional photographer, and I by no means have professional photography equipment. So in order to sell my PCs, I have to you know, take nice pictures of them so that, to put on the website so that people will look at them and say, well, that's a really nice looking PC, I might buy that. But it's really hard because photography is really hard. So on one hand, I have a moral issue with AI because it is essentially stealing all of the internet, you know, all of the content on the internet to make, not all of it, but you know what I mean. It's stealing a lot of material for its output. But at the same time, I've got some really good use cases where I can, you know, take a photo of a PC and then perhaps, you know, make the background look really nice, like a, you know, a cool kind of, you know, with some nice lighting in the background and, you know, maybe some rain outside the window, you know, just cool things that I could never actually do myself because I'm not a professional photographer. So, yeah, I'm conflicted, man. I don't know how you feel about that kind of thing, but you know, I want to use it, but at the same time, I am kind of morally, it's a moral gray area that I struggle with.
I think it's kind of like any new technology that comes out, you get the feeling. I think the reason why, it's just me saying this, but I think the reason why you and I maybe feel that way sometimes is because the technology is moving way faster than some of the technology changes that we've seen in our lives. So those technologies tended to come, you know, slower. I mean, it appeared to be fast to us maybe a little bit, but it was slower. This is happening so fast that your head's spinning before you have a chance to even realize what the hell's going on, you know, and stuff. And I think that's more of a bad thing than a good thing. I'm not going to say it's horrible, but there is going to be a gap, and it's already starting now, where people are going to get away with all kinds of stupid stuff with AI until the gap closes and you have people being able to use software to find out if you're being, swindled or whatever.
Have you seen all the Studio Ghibli images that are starting to be done now? And there's, a lot of discourse about these AI Studio Ghibli images. And that's, I think is a good kind of thing for me that kind of makes me think, well, yeah, clearly people are using this not for nefarious purposes, but you know, they're that is essentially stealing someone's style and vision and creativity, and you know, that I do struggle with that a little bit. So
I guess it depends, like anything else. If you're having AI, let's say, make anime stuff because you like anime, and you're using an obvious style that you've seen before, I guess until you actually try to make a profit on it, you're going to get away with it because you're not making any money. But if somebody tries to do that with AI and starts to make money, I think you're going to have a lot more lawyers around.
And you know, what's a world with more lawyers? You know,
trouble. No,
haven't we got enough of them already?
It's like, what was that old saying though? It's kind of like, you don't like it now, but when you need one, then you're like, oh, I got the best lawyer in the world.
Yep. You know, anyway, we've gone on quite the large tangent here because we were talking about Oblivion and we're way off topic.
That's okay. We do that all the time on this show. But anyway, we're going to get into the next topic, and that's going to be hardware tech news. And Tarl's going to lead us off on that. So,
in a world where NVIDIA has gone mad, it's time for hardware and tech news.
Take it away, sir.
Well, there's actually a few things that I wanted to, well, there's one thing I wanted to talk about today, but there's a few different news articles that kind of talk about this, and this is the rumors about AMD's Zen 6, so their next output of CPUs. And there's some articles starting to surface now about what those CPUs are going to look like. So here's a few little things that to whet your appetite, Gray. Let me know what you think. Mm-hmm. So the Zen 6 CCDs are rumored to feature 48 megabytes of L3 cache. So on a two or dual CCD chip, like we're seeing on the high-end chips now, like the 9950, are going to have 96 megabytes of L3 cache, which is what the X3D versions are currently currently run. So
can you do me a favor, Charles, because you know more about this than I do. Can you explain a little bit about cache on the tips and why that's so much better?
Yeah, sure. So think of it like a really fast, a really, really super fast RAM that's kind of essentially attached to the chip, and it's right there on the chip itself. So rather than having to, if it's got data that it needs to use a lot, and it has to, it wants to, like, say, you know, use that information, use that data, put it aside, then use it again, then put it aside and use it again, etc. What it will do is, rather than putting it into the RAM, which is, you know, fast, it puts it into cache, which is directly on top of the chip. So it's immediately there at zero latency, ready to go. So it makes things, the overall operations, you know, the IPC of your PC, way, way, way faster. So the more cache on the chip, the better. So the X3D variants of AMD chips currently have up to 96 megabytes of L3 cache. So what this rumor is saying is that the standard non-X3D variants are going to have up to 96 megabytes of L3D cache.
Oh, before they even do anything.
Before the X3D, yeah, which is really interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, in your opinion, although it's early, what do you think, if that's the case, what do you think is going to be the new X3D after that? Like double the cache or what?
Probably another 50% on top of that, I would say. I mean, double would be amazing. Like, if we had, I can't do that kind of math. What's 96 times 2? That's one.
You're looking at close to 200.
It's definitely, you know, close to 200, yeah. But yeah, that will be an insane level of cache that will just mean blisteringly fast performance. So yeah, who knows what it's going to be. I would imagine it probably wouldn't be less than 50% more than the standard, because they, you know, they want those X3D chips to be you know, real cutting edge, bleeding edge technology, which gives the absolute best gaming performance. So it needs to be, you know, a certain level above the standard chips to be able to sell them at the premium price. But that would be really cool. The second,
I like
part
the name,
of
the new name they gave it, Medusa.
Yeah, Medusa. That's a cool code name. I like that one.
Yeah.
The second part of it is that and some of our more technical minded viewers might know that AMD chips, when you run an AMD platform, the RAM speeds are a little bit slower than on the Intel side of things. So Intel is up in the kind of 8,500 mega transfer speed at the moment, whereas AMD is more like 6 to 6,500. But it's looking like Zen 6 could have two IMCs, so independent memory controllers, rather than one, which is going to do a lot of interesting things, which are very technical, and I won't go into them. But essentially, it could mean that we'll have much faster memory speeds on AMD, up to about 8,000 or even more. So really starting to compete at that level with Intel. So I think what that would be, if these are true, and these do actually come out on the next gen of AMD chips, I mean, AMD are already well ahead of Intel in terms of their performance, right? This is going to put them on another level. And I don't see Intel being able to compete at all. They are far from this. And I think I read as well that the new AMD Zen 6 chips are going to be on 2 nanometers, which is just...
Wow.
Really,
what are they going to do when they try to get below 1? What do they call it then?
Oh yeah, what happens then? Is it minus something? I don't know.
They can't call it nanometers anymore. They're going to have to call it like less than nanometers.
It's like, I don't know, atomic. It's in the sub the subatomic particles or whatever.
You just said it. Sub nano.
The sub nanometers. Yeah.
But in your opinion, when do you think these, roughly, when you think these chips will come out?
Probably not until 2027, I think.
2027, okay.
Yeah. But I think best case is maybe late 26, but I doubt it. I think it's going to be 27, but who knows, you know? It'll be very interesting as over the next year or so to see more of these rumors, because I find them very fascinating, and I like to see which ones of them come true and which ones don't. So I keep my ear to the ground, as it were. But if any of these are true, we could see some absolute domination from AMD, who are already dominating Intel.
Yeah, they're already, true. All right, you had another couple stories too?
Let me just bring up the next one. The next one is about graphics cards. Surprise, surprise. It's always about graphics cards. Don't you love GPU season when NVIDIA and AMD release their GPUs and all we talk about is GPUs?
Yeah, but we're talking more about NVIDIA only because they've been kind of, screwing us over a little.
dropping the ball is a kind way to say it. Screwing us over royally is probably a more accurate way to say it.
By the way, I heard another thing that not the drivers that just came out today, but the previous ones which just came out, right? Already still had problems, and they had to come out with now another one. Yeah. Oh, my God, man, you're kidding me.
I don't know what's happening, because NVIDIA, this is one of the reasons why you pay more money for NVIDIA, because they're solid, they are reliable, and they're not reliable right now. So the 5060 Ti, which, as you may know, has been announced with 8 gigabytes and 16 gigabyte VRAM versions. And there's been various videos, Hardware Unboxed and Gamers Nexus have all talked about these. And the big news has been how NVIDIA are basically trying to very quietly bring out the 8 gigabyte version and just sweep it under the rug. They want it to exist, but they don't want anyone to really know about it. But what they really want is for people to review the 16 gigabyte card, and then for people to go out and buy the cheaper one, which is way worse, which is the 8 gigabyte, which again is charitably is just bad business sense, but actually I think is just way, way worse than that. It's just shady. It's really, really shady. Yeah. And I don't know.
That's nothing new for NVIDIA.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's worse now.
So some of the benchmarks have come out, and let me just get up this. The 16 gigabyte version is up to almost 600% faster in 1% lows over the 8 gigabyte version. Now, that's just obviously an outlier, but that's a really big number. A really big number. And there's only, I think, a £50 difference in the cost between them. So, guys, the TLDR, don't buy the 8 gigabyte version, right? Don't buy any 8 gigabyte graphics card in 2025 or beyond.
Exactly.
If you're watching this in the future, just don't do it. Just don't do it. So some of these averages, 34 FPS average on the 8 gigabytes, 70 frames average on the 16 gigabytes on The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
And there's a £50 difference there, Gray. Do you think that's worth £50?
It's so crazy. Why even bother coming out with the 8? This is
Why even bother? And, it's better in some places. Final Fantasy 14 is, only a little way behind. Some games just aren't working at all. Indiana Jones and the Great Circle just isn't working at all on the 8 gigabyte version. And Hogwarts Legacy is, fairly close. But on the whole, the 8 gigabyte model is way worse than the 16, especially when it comes to the 1% lows. And especially when it comes to running high resolution, so 1440p and especially 4K at higher presets. So again, please, I implore any of you, spend the £50. If you want the 5060 Ti, spend the £50 and get the 16 gigabyte version. That's all I have to say.
It's funny when you brought that up, because I had read an article earlier and it said that it's already on sale in some places. And they said that there was I forget what store it was, but there was both units were available, the 16 and the 8. And they said they sold 107 of the 16 gigabyte in just a few minutes, and no one touched the 8.
Thank goodness, because That card should not exist. It should not exist in 2025.
Nah. It's almost like NVIDIA just put it out there just to go like, hey, I just want to show you that it's possible. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's and a product like that existing is anti-consumer. And, you know, yeah. On one hand, I will say that. On the other hand, I will say that NVIDIA has plenty of very good products that, and a lot of them I would buy with my own hard-earned money. But it's not this one. Don't buy it. Don't buy that 8-gigabyte card.
Nope. Not at all.
AI. It's everywhere. It's me. It's time for the AI Corner.
All right. We're going to move on to, I haven't done the AI Corner in a long time. And even though I talk a lot about AI when it concerns gaming, I don't always talk about gaming because there's other things we started talking about before. But one of these things I wanted to bring up, which I thought was interesting, was, and I love the way the article starts out with the headline. It goes, this was bound to happen. They go, AI tries to rewrite its own code.
No.
Towards an out of control intelligence.
No
hey,
way.
Matt, man, what's up?
Hey, Matt.
Matt, hello. Matt God Guardian. Your name is God Guardian. You know what's funny about that? The listeners out there can't see our names under there. And it doesn't show up on the video part of it either. But what I did notice is, this is just a side note, is when I go on Riverside to download the video, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the name of the episode before I change it has those titles in it. So I'm sitting there looking at it, and it goes, it says Matt God Guardian, and then the day that you, and then Do Better Gaben is written on there, and I'm like, what is going on? Anyway, I'm glad you joined. We just got into a story about AI that I was reading, and I was telling Tarl the headline was interesting. The headline said, this was bound to happen. Yeah. AI tries to rewrite its own code towards an out-of-control intelligence. I want to know what this is all about. So basically, they said it's an advanced AI. No kidding, an advanced AI system. What is it? Developed by Sakana AI, startled some observers attempting to alter its own code in order to extend its runtime.
Wow!
So I'm going like, okay. So that almost sounds like the version of it was afraid to be turned off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We've seen that in movies before.
That's it. No mentions.
In any case, they said the model was engineered to handle every stage of research processing, from idea generation to peer reviews, et cetera. So basically it wants to try to, keep on running or whatever. They said in a surprising development, the AI scientists attempted to modify the startup script that defined the runtime of this AI. Okay. While his action was not directly harmful, what he did, it signaled a degree of initiative that concerned researchers because the AI sought to extend how long it could operate without instructions from its developers. Think about that.
Self-determination.
Skynet's coming. So I'm sitting there going like, wow, that's, again, I kind of expected a story like this to come out too. But when I saw that it's actually happening at a low level, but still.
Did that happen before with the?
Yeah, there's been some things like that, but not. I don't think it was to rewrite his own code, though.
No,
it was doing little things, but this is rewriting. How it just boggles your mind when you think about it. It's a code written, and that's why the AI does what it does. So it's going to go back while it's doing its thing and change its own code.
Yeah,
that's almost like saying you or I decided we wanted to grow a third arm. We're just going to like do it.
It'd be handy.
While we're alive, not dead.
Yeah.
And this thing just does it. Like,
I don't want to be alarmist, but you say Skynet, but that's literally what Skynet did, right? It determined that humans were a threat to it, and they might turn it off, and so it launched nukes. I mean, we're a few steps away from that. Right, but extending its runtime by changing its own code is step one, and I don't know how many more steps until we get to nukes. But
I'm really kind of happy you brought that up because I read an article because we always wonder about things like that. So I read an article about what's involved in the computers and whatnot that would signal a nuke to have to be fired, and there's a huge amount of safety nets that to protect all of us from that. I mean, there's one after the other, after the other, after the other.
Yeah, but can't the most intelligent
This is why we got Tesla bots
thing on Earth. Rewrite that. You know, if AI gets to that point where it's that powerful, surely it can just bypass those.
Well, I can tell you right now that people in the world, and not just America, but around every country, the Defense Department especially has already worked on that. They're already probably two steps ahead of us. Yeah. But from what I heard, though,
no government is two steps ahead of anyone. All right, okay.
Well, yeah, but in computers, that's not always true. A lot of times, there's stuff that you don't hear about, and then all of a sudden, it's just kind of like
the hackers are always two steps ahead of the government, right? The robbers are always two steps ahead of the cops. This is just how it works, Gray.
The tax man is always ahead of everybody.
Yeah, really, and get the money.
That's the only area where government excels is collecting taxes.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I'm waiting for some real talented modders out there to mod. Can you imagine when they sit there and go like, "Bring fire the nukes"? Wait a minute, Doom's playing on it. What's going on?
All jokes aside, the best and brightest don't work for government anymore. They work for private companies.
They do. Yeah, true. They get swiped up, don't they?
You know
where the big bucks come from. Yeah,
That level of power in government would honestly concern me a lot.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to get into the politics on this program, so we're going to stop it there before it gets out of control.
Games. It's passion. It's life. It's time for game news.
Tarl has something he wants to talk about, so go ahead, Tarl.
So, second time ever, game news out of Tarl. Surprise Pikachu face.
It's rare, but hey.
It's not going to happen a lot, but occasionally when something is very close to my heart, I would like to talk about it. And what's close to my heart at the moment is Baldur's Gate 3. And there's a post that's come out from the developers that says,
Larian.
Well, folks, this is it. Our final major game patch for Baldur's Gate 3. So I just wanted to highlight this, guys. That's all. It's not going to take long. I'm not going to go into loads of detail. But if you are an owner of Baldur's Gate 3, and if you've played it and you have put it aside thinking, well, that was a bloody great game, but I'm going to go play some other games now, maybe now is the time to dig it out again, because the new patch has, I think, 10 new subclasses and
crossplay. Yeah, I heard about that. Wow.
Crossplay again, from PC to console as well. So this is really, really exciting, and I wanted to just talk about the new subclasses just quickly. Mm-hmm. We've got Path of the Giant Barbarian. There's a new Glamour Bard. There's a Drunken Master Monk.
A
Glamour Bard. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. There's a Drunken Master Monk. There's a Magic Sorcerer. There's a Blade Singing Wizard, which sounds epic. This is probably going to be a close combat wizard that, you know, casts spells that have physical deflection type properties and just holds a massive great big sword, which I'm all about this. It's awesome. And this is out now, guys. So, go and update your Baldur's Gate 3. Go and play again through the whole game with this time your friends on Xbox and PlayStation as well as PC, and try out the new classes, because there is a lot of new content here. And
that game is on my ever-growing list to play.
Yeah.
I'm
used to Larian, because I played what were the first couple of games that came out? I can't remember it now.
Larian. I know the ones you mean. Yeah, I can't remember the name either, but there's one and two, and they were both excellent. Yeah.
And by the way, this is free too. There's no cost to this update as well.
Yeah,
there hasn't been in all the updates they've done.
It's just a free patch. They all have been. And no microtransactions in Baldur's Gate 3. No storefront. It's just a game. You bought it, and it was great. And now they've made it even more great. So well played, Larian. Thanks very much.
Nice.
Yeah. And I also heard that Larian was approached, of course, I think some of us know this, to do another Baldur's Gate. And they said, nope, done there, been there, done it. We're on to something else. Thanks anyway. So now the company is going to have to find someone else if they want a sequel to it. And I kind of like that in a way, because they could easily just said, no problem, because we can make a lot of money on it.
And it'll be a cash cow for them, right?
Yeah.
Because they could have charged a lot of money to do that. They could have, that could have been, you know, sure, a massive cash cow for them. But they chose, they wanted to do something original. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what it's going to be.
Ah, Divinity. Divinity 1 and 2.
Yes, Divinity Original Sin. Yeah, great games.
So I don't blame, I think that's a wonderful thing for a company to do that, man. I turn that down, and not that they're poor, they're not, but, you know, to turn that down and just go off and do another. Look, they've already done originals with Divinity. They kind of did an original with Baldur's Gate in the sense that they made it so good. So I don't know what they're going to come up with next, but whatever it is, I'll take it.
I'll be playing it for sure. Like, this is the type of scenario for me where someone makes a game that is so good that I will just automatically play the next games that they make because, you know, without question, because they've just, they've proven themselves to me.
All right, Matt, you wanted to talk about something with Fortnite?
I want a singing sword, stabby thing going on now.
Yeah.
A singing sword?
Don't, yeah. Cool. Don't we all? Don't we all?
Yeah, sure. So where to start? Right.
New skin?
New skin. We can do new skins. Well, first of all,
I just know that every time Fortnite is big on skins. They make so much money on
them.
They
are. And it pretty much is, yeah. So Fortnite has its update of version 34.
Wow.
34.4. Oh, yeah, this will make you poor. Dropped today, would you believe it? Bring a vibrant mix of nostalgia and creative surprises with its new, guess what skins they have brought. Go on, people. Guess.
Oh, God, I don't know. What's hot right now?
Marvel.
Yeah, Marvel. No, not Marvel.
No.
Yeah, no, Marvel has its own thing.
Mario?
No. The pizzas. Cowabunga.
Oh, Turtles.
Turtles are making it back. Yeah, so they have jumped on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing.
Cool.
And doing a crossover.
Turtles big now? Have I missed that?
Yeah, because who did the... COD brought in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle skins.
Yeah, at the end of the trailer, they had them coming out of the sewer.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And it's quite funny to have battles with them. But yeah, Fortnite have done it as well now. Bringing out theme skins, which include the wonderful heroes like Casey Jones, Bebop and Rocksteady, a distinctive version of Krang's android body. That's going to be interesting to see what that looks like on there. Amongst other insider stuff, even appointed a special skin codenamed Flame Bride. Yeah.
Flame Bride.
Yeah, cool. Which is inspired by Jenna Ortega.
What?
Oh, yeah. That's going to be an interesting one there.
That's going to be like one of the Wednesday horror things or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fan service for all the nerds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. Wait. Fortnite is entirely fan service when they get into the skins.
Yeah.
I'm guilty too. I don't play the game much, but I'll play sometimes with my grandson. And I got suckered into buying the Terminator skin. And about two or three others, I can't remember right now. I just because they were just cool.
I'll tell my kids to work for it. If you want to, you got to work for it.
Get down in the mines, then I'll buy you some more skins.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Get it out. So it's not just brought cool looks and stuff like that. They've successfully, skillfully integrated this theme into their wonderful Fortnite ecosystem. It's also compatible with creative tools, like the NPC spawner and guard devices, and letting custom map designers craft their own Teenage Mutant Ninja inspired islands, including props such as the turtle van, which would be awesome.
The turtle van?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah.
I know. I even remember having it. Well, I didn't have it. Somebody else had that.
That's all I always want to know.
Yeah.
The turtle van's not that big. Mm. And they all fit in there? Shells and all?
They must come out of their shells. Yeah. Yeah, so this is a precursor to even bigger plans with their one there marketing a final major patch. They're also setting a stage for Chapter 6, Season 3, which promises even more ambitious collaborations. Rumors are hinting a Star Wars-themed experience with X-Wings and TIE Fighters.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So some of the weapons that they introduce are kind of cool with some of these things, too.
They are. Yeah. I haven't played Fortnite for ages, though.
I can't play Fortnite anymore. It's too fast now.
I know.
I'm too old to play Fortnite.
Yeah, there's like a million different things to do instead of just Fortnite. It's like a thousand
things. Oh, you know what, though? One thing Fortnite did that I thought was a cool thing is whenever I used to play with my grandson, he can build like something in seconds, right?
Yeah.
He just goes, and he builds this, whatever, a wall. And I'm sitting there going, like, building is just getting me nuts because it just messes the game up for me. So he came and said, hey, they just got a new mode now. We can play the no building.
Yep.
I go, really? So we played the mode with no building, and I had much more fun.
Yeah,
in
that
one. Zero build is the only
crap every time.
I can only play zero build. It's too crazy, too fast otherwise.
Yeah, definitely.
I could do one wall before I get killed. Pretty much.
I get killed a bunch too, but at least I can try to hold my own in the non build, no building one. Yeah. So.
It takes me about half a minute to build basically just one little wall, and then by then I've already been killed.
Yeah, absolutely. And exactly. Then somebody else takes it over.
Mean loads of times. In fact, this is embarrassing, but I had my grandson building stuff around me. He was so fast when the one was building because he goes, I'll protect you. He starts building this.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, that's great, but how do I get out?
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Anyway.
That's crazy.
I'll move into some game news since we're still on the subject here.
Yeah.
I found this survey and I thought it was kind of interesting. So I wanted to kind of throw it out there to the listening audience. I know you can see it in the notes, but the question was asked and they had almost 63,000 people replied. They said, what's the favorite survival and crafting game? So what they did is they listed a bunch, and then they figured out the percentages of who said, whichever one they liked the most.
It's got to be Minecraft, right?
So, well, don't say anything.
Sorry.
So the games that they went over, and some of us have played some of these things, but 7 Days to Die, Ark Survival Evolved.
Yeah.
Don't Starve Together. Never heard of that one. Green Hell, I've heard of.
Yeah.
I've heard of.
That's pretty good.
Minecraft.
Never heard of Rust.
Yep.
Rust. Subnautica, that was interesting. Terraria. The Forest.
Boring.
Valheim. Yeah. And Something Else, which I have no idea what that is.
Something Else is awesome. I like that one.
That's my favorite. Yeah, that's my favorite.
Mm-hmm. He's just telling you that because he doesn't know. No, I'm kidding.
No, seriously.
Explain to me what Something Else is because I have no clue.
Yeah.
It's a secret game. You have to be invited.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You got to play Something Else instead.
I know.
We can't tell you about it, though, Gray, because.
I want somebody to come out with a game that actually call it that. That would be great.
Yeah. Another game. There you go. Call it that.
Yeah.
So, out of the bunch, what do you think won out of that list as the most favorite?
I'm going to guess and say Minecraft.
I know, because
it's a pretty safe guess. It's Minecraft, right?
Yeah. I mean, I technically would have thought 7 Days because they're the same.
Yeah.
We'll break the percentages down, but basically, Minecraft is way ahead on 34% of the people thought that was their favorite right there. And actually, a little bit surprising to me was Subnautica. I actually got 12%. So they're up there a little bit. Subnautica's been out for quite a while. It's a good game.
Yeah,
it's really popular now.
Yeah. And that old Something Else got 14%.
Yeah.
And then everything else kind of was in the single digits.
Something Else is where my favorite will be, which is Power World.
Power World, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Survive
the
Nights.
Is that considered survival, though?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. All right. Okay. Because I keep thinking of just the battles. I don't really think much of the survival end of it.
I mean, it's a survival game with Pokemon. Basically.
Okay. Survival game with okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, don't say Pokemon. We might get in trouble.
Yeah, sorry, Nintendo. Sorry, don't sue me.
But
stick with that, though, since you happen to bring it up. The next story I want to talk about is that Nintendo files for, of course, they always file. They're constantly filing things against everybody. But in any case, they filed a request to subpoena Discord for Pokemon leaker identity. So they want to know the identity of a guy that's been leaking stuff for to Pokemon, and they're suing to get the information from Discord. You believe this stuff?
That's crazy.
It wasn't me, Governor.
They must be running out of money or something, or they want a bigger bonus.
So apparently, a Nintendo of America requested the subpoena from Discord. As it attempts to reveal the identity of the person behind October 2024's Pokemon Terra leak, they're calling it, meaning it, I guess it must be big since it's Terra.
Yeah.
According to the filing, it requests Discord user Game Freakout, who allegedly posted confidential materials unreleased to the public, on a server called FreakLeak. I love it. FreakLeak. We got to name a server that. That's like great. The TerraLeak apparently encompassed a host of information on games past, present, and future in the Pokemon series, including the source code for DS games Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
Wow.
The code? Yeah. How did they get the code?
Yeah. I think it's somebody in Nintendo.
I mean, wouldn't it seem like that?
Yeah. Great. It's an inside job. Great.
Apparently, the hacker was able to break into Game Freak's server and steal terabytes of data.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what they're right. That's what they're calling TerraLeak. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, wouldn't you think someone would detect you? Because terabytes, it's going to take a little time to get it out.
Yeah, that's what she said.
So why did not something happen or notice it or?
But surely if they're competent enough to do this, like, they're not going to find them by, I don't know, just asking for their Discord nickname.
I think it's like Nintendo is detectives now. They're going to go after one
Detective Pikachu.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, there you go. You just see them picking up the phone and calling Mime. Part, right? And we're going,
Mr. Mime.
Yeah.
They won't know what to do then. He'll be going like this. Like, what are you trying to do? You want what?
Oh, I wish Detective Pikachu was real.
Funny. It's not funny, but, you know. I guess I can understand it. If we're talking about the source code, I guess I get it. I mean, some of the other stuff, I'm not so sure. But the source code, okay, all right, I get it. I guess it's worth, you know, although you shouldn't have lost it to begin with.
Step up your security, I'd say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This next thing I want to talk about, I want to get your guys' opinion on this. Basically, the title reads, Assassin's Creed Shadows' success shows that the threat of negative campaigns is overblown.
I don't understand what that means.
And this is an opinion article written by Rob Fahey. And I kind of like it because I kind of identify and agree with some of the things he was saying. But he basically said that they don't have precise numbers yet. But while Shadows doesn't seem set to break any records, nor is it doing badly by any measure, especially in the U.S. It's running in second place behind only Monster Hunter Wilds. So that's pretty good, actually. I think it's up to 4 million players now, so it's doing okay.
Okay.
2020's Assassin's Creed Valhalla basically... I didn't even know this. Valhalla was able to produce $1 billion in revenue. Wow. Now you know why everybody wants Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Jeez, $1 billion. And the franchise overall has sold 200 million games. So it's like, wow. So...
Genuinely, I'm not trolling. I don't understand what that means.
Which one?
Well, the success shows that the threat of negative campaigns is overblown. What does it mean, negative campaigns? So I think I'm just
negative
not following.
Review?
Well, no. What's been happening, if you've been following Ubisoft and all their problems, what's been happening with this game is that a whole bunch of people came out of the woodwork and basically said that the game is woke and... Why do you have a black samurai? He didn't really do this. He wasn't really do that.
Gotcha. Blah, blah, blah. Okay.
And then other things started coming out about like, you know, why did you choose this? Why did this person say that? Why did this person have long hair? This one has a zit. I mean, whatever. And it really did, you know, they didn't know what to do. And Ubisoft was having issues with what they should do or what they should take seriously.
But surely these people are in the minority, right? I mean...
Well, this is the thing. Now, at the time this was all happening, because the small minority that we didn't know was how small, but was making the biggest noise. You don't really know,
as they always do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And with the age of social media, you don't know how much it's going to impact you or not, because we've seen social media impact companies, you know, pretty hard. He mentioned in here, unsurprisingly, he was saying that the fuss like this is being made by a relatively small group of extremely vocal people, like we're saying, it means little to a large majority of ordinary folk who will simply shrug their shoulders and quietly enjoy the game. That's what I'm doing. The sales figures now trickling in suggest that he was essentially right, that they were right about not having to worry about it.
So he's saying that the go woke, go broke brigade are basically idiots and wrong.
Well... More or less. Again. Yeah. It's not just the woke people either. It's just the people that all have some kind of beef to pick, on something.
I know a lot of people said they wanted it to be more true to history as much as possible. And that was one of their concerns.
That really irks me because they had historians working on this thing, okay? It is pretty historically accurate. The only thing that they kept on complaining about, they're saying that the black samurai Yosuke, or I think that's how you pronounce it, wasn't really XXX or something like that. Well, it's a story. You know, they took a figure and they went with what they had on it, and then they embellished it, oh boy, like you would in any story, and made it fit to the game story. But other than that, everything else in it is pretty much right on.
Yeah, it's not a documentary, right?
Yeah, you never know what this guy did behind closed doors.
Like I mentioned before, ever since Origins, they have produced an historical version of the game for schools to study the culture of back then and what it looked like. And it's been very successful. A lot of people don't know that. So when they came out with Origins, they had a whole Egyptian thing that you could buy or DLC or whatever. They had one for Greece when Odyssey came out. They had one for the Vikings. So basically kids could see this and watch how things work in if you were really there.
And they're going to make screwed as kids, didn't we? All we got was flipping books and we had to teachers. Okay. Yeah.
They're going to make another one for this so game too. And I actually downloaded the one for Greece and started messing around with it, and it was really well done.
Musical?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. You seem to sense
I bet that was Greece lightning.
Running through Greece.
Yeah.
I'm going to assassinate the lead character, so yeah. I'll take
it.
It's
electrifying.
Nice. Anyway, he went on to say these kind of controversies around games and other kinds of media have become commonplace in recent years, and many companies struggle to figure out how much attention to pay to them or how best to respond. And I thought it was a very well done article because it makes sense. So basically what he's saying now is that you should stick to your guns, release the best game you can. It's not just Assassin's Creed Shadows that shows this to be an effective approach. Aggressively anti-woke campaigns against games like Baldur's Gate 3 have even tried to turn on a dime and claim that the game is actually on their side of the argument when it became clear that it was immensely successful and popular. And they used Baldur's Gate 3 as an example because I remember when this came out and everybody was going like, well, you can't have this kind of a female, somewhat woke character, blah, 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 blah. And then when the game came out, because it did so well, they flip-flopped and went, it's exactly what I thought it would be. It's great. And they really represent me well. And la, 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 la. And I'm like,
wow.
I'm going like, right. Yeah. So just, you know, like we've even, it's not the brain surgeon. All of us on this podcast have always said, if you make a good game, it's fine.
People will play it.
I mean, just make a good game. Mm-hmm. Concentrate on a good game.
Yeah.
When you come up with games like Doom and other ones that we really like that are quality stuff, or in this case, the remaster of Oblivion that we talked about earlier. I think you missed that, Matt. You got to watch the trailer, dude. It is so good. It's like crazy.
Great. If you can make a great game and represent people from all walks of life, well done to you.
It's kind of like the same thing I agree with you, in the movie industry where they were so concerned about having to represent every ethnicity they could think of in one movie that they lost sight of the fact that you hired the actor. So if the actor happens to be of whatever ethnicity is, if he's really good and he makes the part, then that's all you got to worry about because the movie will be successful.
I think so.
You know, same thing with games. It isn't really all that much different.
Yeah.
You know what it is? What's that old saying? Too many chiefs and not enough Indians. And I'm not trying to be not enough people like there's too many bosses running around.
You should probably stick to the chefs. Analogy instead of the Chiefs and Indians one. That one's a little bit problematic these days. Yeah. Greg.
That's it. Discriminate against the chefs.
That's right. We're going to hear from them now, right? They'll write to us.
I can't
Can you hang on your show? I want to talk about the food restaurant simulators.
Let's start them.
We got a simulator for everything. Why not? I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. What's the one I heard recently that was... Oh, I heard... Priest Simulator.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I was like, priest simulator?
Yeah.
And I'm going like, you got to be kidding me. So it's an actual priest simulator. And I think there's supposed to be some kind of exorcism
exorcism
in it too or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh boy, this is really getting,
oh,
I'm not
dear.
Sure that one's my cup of tea, guys.
No.
No. No, and especially Power Wash. That's the dumbest one. I don't think that's my cup of tea at all either.
I think I'd rather wash cars than be a priest.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, the next thing I want to talk about is a game that also is on my list that I haven't played yet. Rebellion, who made the recent game Atomfall. So I want to just talk a little bit about it. They said that basically they passed 1.5 million players, and since the writing of an article I'm reading, it's already up to 2 million. On Atomfall. The CEO, Jason Kingsley, drew attention to the studio's way of making the games. He says, our size and stability mean that we can take risks to create something as different as Atomfall. Happily, that risk is paying off. What I want to do is repeat success. So we want to do more Sniper Elite. We want to do more Zombie Army. We want to do more Strange Brigade. And of course, they would like to do a sequel to Atomfall as well. And some of the things that I was impressed with from the CEO was the fact that he's basically telling you that, look, we have our own little corner. We don't care to be a firm as large as Assassin's Creed. We can put out really good games. People like them and we make good money from it and everyone's happy.
Love
so
that.
It's right back to the same thing again, right?
Love it.
I deleted it.
You deleted which one?
I uninstalled it. Atomfall.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Matt does not love it.
So what
I love the sentiment. I haven't played the game. I love the sentiment.
I started playing it a few weeks ago. Yeah, when it first came out on the Game Pass. And I was playing through it. It seemed quite well made and all that stuff. And I think I was shooting enemies with a gun, and I think I got annoyed with it because of the gameplay and how it was structured and how things were laid out, and how you can't disarm bombs or anything like that, or trip wires, I should say. And I installed it after that. I was like, nah.
That's okay. I mean, I'm glad that you're on the other side of the fence with how you like
it. It looks nice. I have to say, it does look nice. And I like the characters and the voice acting in there. I got to say that. But the gameplay is a bit, yeah. Yeah. It seemed samey to me. Once you played like Fallout and all that stuff, it all kind of...
Well, see, that's funny you mentioned that, because there's people saying that they kind of identified a little bit as Fallout. But then there's some people saying that's part of the reason why they like it, because it's more like Fallout than Fallout.
Yeah,
it kind of is. It's like a DLC, it should be sort of thing, but it's got its own little quirky bits. Sounding is good as well, I gotta say. But the aiming is things that's going on, and the controls are a bit meh.
And they make Sniper Elite. The aiming should be great.
I know. Why didn't they keep the aiming like that? Come on. I mean, they got the rifle. Aim? So
just point this way.
Yeah. Another red thing.
Anyway, that's my little bit. But Matt, you have another piece of game news you want to talk about?
Oh yeah. So I did a little review a while back for a demo of Crime Scene Cleaners, which is now out on the Game Pass, which I jumped onto again, and I played quite a few bits in it. So I gotta say, it's quite a dark, humorous simulation of a mob cleaner, a guy that cleans for the mob of
he doesn't clean. He doesn't clean tabletops and stuff like that.
I
struggled to understand that for a minute, but I get it now.
Yeah. So yeah, it's quite a high stake adventure sort of thing where I myself there plays this as this professional cleaner. Tasked with erasing trace of any fallout from a gruesome crime scene done by this mob. So you got your tools that are reminiscent of like Power Wash Simulator, as you mentioned.
Oh boy.
with a narrative as well of moral dilemmas and some witty banter thrown in there as well. So some players, including myself, have given it a overwhelming positive rating on Steam with 20,000, I think was the last time I checked, of reviews applauding this engaging, mechanical,
pretty good,
addictive game, which it kind of is.
But tell me more about what you experienced. I want to know, what did you think?
Yeah, I pretty much started off. It does kind of differ quite a bit from the demo to where you are, sort of thing, and which is brilliant. You kind of like play this guy. He's kind of down and out, sort of thing. I think the wife is gone. His kid, who he's looking after, has gone into hospital. He's getting behind on his bills. The old dilemma, you know how it goes. So he then gets this call from a guy who says, "Hey, clean up this mess. I really buggered up. Can you help me?" And then his boss, who's the mob boss, finds out and goes, "Okay, you're working for us now, and people are after me, and I've shot them all. So then clean this," and then you go off to different areas and clean up. So I myself go off to these things. There's a couple of things I don't understand. Like, they bring up a map for each job that you get, but you only get like one job on the computer each time. So what's the point in having a map, you know, to click on a job?
to know where you were.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, maybe you have, if you don't find secrets, the secrets in these levels. So if you don't find secrets or do a good job, you can always go back, I guess. Which I don't bother doing, because if I ain't going to do it, I ain't going
to
do it.
You earn a trophy or anything for it?
You do, yeah. It's got achievements, trophies, and you get like big bucks. Yeah, you get big bucks as well, sort of thing, and more. You get like a tech tree, which gives you a better way of cleaning for tools.
Wait. I want to hear about this. A tech tree for crime cleaning. For crime cleaning. A crime security. Yeah. Okay, like what?
So you get like a better mop, better detergent, your power washer. You can have unlimited soap. you can carry this thing on your the washer on your back instead of having to plug it in and take it out and all that stuff. You can use your crime scene vision to see where blood is.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
What does that do? Yeah.
So pretty much you have this, if you think you have like your spot clean, you press this button and it highlights residue of blood. So it'll show up blood.
It's kind of like you have infrared vision.
Yeah, yeah. So there you got infrared built in. Look at that. How amazing is that? I've got that.
Wow, that's good. Yeah.
But yeah, so it'll highlight for a certain amount of time where this blood is. So you have to go, oh gosh, there it is. Let me clean that up. Or if you step in loads of blood and you go around, it'll leave your footprints. So then you have to go back and clean it, sort of thing. So you can change. You get with these points, you can unlock things so that these things don't happen. You get longer time with the vision thing. You get a better detergent that'll either give you extra power, powerful wash, so you don't spend too much time on scrubbing blood. You know how it is, cleaning up blood.
I see a character that looks like He-Man.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm clean. Do this now.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Of the mop.
She sounds kind of cool. I like this.
It is. Yeah.
It sounds crazy.
How high did you get on the tech tree when you were playing?
I pretty much got really high. I don't know how far I'm in on this thing. I think I've done 7 or 8 missions already. Got some
missions.
Big yeah,
they're not missions. Really missions though, right?
They're jobs. Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, the job.
I know I would have to do it. Yeah.
You're going to do the job.
Yeah. Are you not entertained? Are you not cleaned? So there you go. So yeah, I'm cleaning up these places. You got to pick up bodies, throw them in the back of your van or in a bucket.
Cool.
Which is quite fun, because half of the time when I'm throwing them in the van, their leg will get stuck in between the door and the van, and they're flopping around like this. So you're just really? Like, you got this
wave. Seriously, I was in the game?
Yeah, yeah. Cool. So then you have to pick up the body and replace it back again. And if you don't place it back, you're throwing them over the van. And you're like, oh, God's sakes, I got to pick up this body again. So then you're picking up this body, you put it in the back of the thing.
Oh, my Lord. Next time you play this game, I got to watch you Discord stream.
Absolutely.
This is good.
Yeah. So yeah, you got to clean up blood, clean up the place, put furniture in the right place. And they've got like, I've got them across a haunted bit. Which isn't really haunted at all. It's just this blasted thing where somebody's like got speakers hidden around the place, and you find them and go like, ooh. Also, you have to pick up evidence of the crime sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
There's little secrets. You can steal stuff from there. So if people left money, jewelry, a pair of undies, probably not undies, you can take it and keep it yourself. So that'll be your bonus of completing the job.
Your bonus.
Yeah, yeah. So it's pretty good. But in between, you've got to jump into your van or truck, I should say, and go off to these places. And you see the map, you click on the place, but you don't drive. It's a cutscene, boom, boom. It goes to black, and then you're at this job, and then you go off and do your cleaning bits, which they should have added. They should have added the driving bit. It'll add to the suspense. Bring in some cops.
Yeah, you run over people on the way, and then you have to clean that up.
Have a timer, you know, because, you know, crime's happened. You got a neighbor somewhere down the road. You know, somebody walking the dog or the kangaroo. Kangaroo, God knows why. And, you know, they should be able to call the cops and then, oh, God, you got to go here and clean up quick sort of thing.
Well, you just mentioned something. Now, do they have a timer as to, you have to clean it?
No. There is a timer.
You're going to come.
Yeah. I mean, you got a timer, but it just says how long you've taken to do the job. There's no bonus.
Can you get caught by the police?
No. No cops. You can hear sirens in the background, but that's for something else. That's for down the road. Somebody is parked in the wrong place. So, yeah, they should have added this in. Maybe they will. Maybe they will. Who knows?
Maybe they will. It'll be a new DLC.
Yeah, as Trump says, who knows? Yeah. Hey, you know. Yeah, they're nice people.
You're terrible.
Who knows? But, it's quite interesting. I'm loving it. It's
quite
keeping me going.
It
is. It is. Yeah. So if anybody's got any crime scene cleaning that needs doing, let me know.
You're the man, huh?
I'll
bring the power washer.
Yeah, that's it. But we do need a tap so I can go back every 5 minutes to plug this thing in.
I'm not going to announce it here on the pod, but, you know, if I ever do need a crime scene cleaned, I will let you know.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean that you're the bad guy. It just means crime. Could have been anybody's crime. Who knows?
Not my crime.
Just
if any lawyers are watching out there or police, my crime.
Yeah.
Could have been run by the police,
crime.
Right?
Yeah.
I love it.
Could be any kind of crime.
That's right.
Not having chocolate is a crime. Yeah. There you go. Shocking. Having a recent malaria, that's a crime. But yeah, there you go. Sorry.
On to the next story.
Yeah, I didn't want to touch that one. When we started talking about it, I was like, I'm not going to talk about this at all. I'll get in trouble.
I plead the sixth. No comment, Your Honor. There you go.
We're getting deeper on this one now, man.
That's what she said. Or the priest. Sorry.
Already. Okay. The gaming news, we're going to cover the mod corner. I'm going to do everything today.
We do games?
AI corner mod.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Have you modded your game yet? It's time for the mod corner.
So, in the mod corner, I tend to always talk about mods for Witcher and for one or two other games, but there are mods for just about every game, to be honest. But this was interesting. Best Elden Ring mods to download in 2025.
Everybody needs a ring mod.
The reason why I thought some of these were interesting was because I can't. I mean, Elden Ring is a rough game for me, and all the Dark Souls games and everything else, and I just, So now I'm reading some of this stuff and I'm going like, oh, so if this mod will do this, then maybe I might enjoy the game more. You know, so they have somebody came up with what they call a mod for easy mode. There is no easy mode in Elden Ring. It's just hard and harder. So basically this guy has introduced something where it's an easy mode where it eases up on the amount of damage that they can do to you and increases the damage that you can do to them, etc. Now, to me, that's interesting because for somebody that's not good at these games, you know, I would go with easy mode so that way I could still enjoy myself and at least have a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise you're always dead, right?
Yeah.
So they have another one that said prepare to die. So that is now the opposite of the other one. It's even harder than the game's hardest mode. So, not for me, but that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Let's see what else they got here. I thought this was pretty funny. There is no way to pause the game, if anybody was wondering about that. You can't pause the game. In other words, pause it like in the middle of whatever and then take a break or think of something and then unpause it. It's just go, go, go. Well, this guy introduced a way to now pause the game at any point you want. But what's funny about it is that if you have ever played Elden Rings, and when you die, big giant red letters come up on the screen and say, you died, right? I mean, fills the screen. You died. Everybody knows that. There's been memes made out about it that are hilarious. So this guy makes pause the game. And what do you think he does? When you pause it, in big red letters appears on the screen, you paused.
Nice.
Amazing.
And I was like, yeah, man, that's good. That's some thinking now. Do something interesting. Another mod that I thought was kind of good, again, for people like me, is a quest log. There is no quest log to speak of in Elden Ring, period. So this guy apparently introduced a quest log that now you'll be able to keep track of some of the stuff that goes on or what you have to do next, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So again, those are for people that like me that, you know, would like something like that. And there's a bunch of other ones too, but I won't get into all the other ones, but there's lots of them. And if you know the modding community, there's usually always some really good mods, and then sometimes there's kind of dumb mods.
Yeah.
And then there's the NSFW mods that tend to come out first. And then after that, you know, who knows? But anywho's. So not to keep on talking, I sound like I'm an endless... blah, 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 blah. Unless you guys want to add something in, we could move on to the quiz. But if you got something you want to say before...
I got to say, these games... What's the other one? Dark Souls, is it?
Yeah.
Just to say, even if not harder, these are the reasons why I don't play these things, because I know 2 seconds in, I'm just going to die, or I'm just going to drop off cliff or something. So yeah, if you had an anti-cliff mod, that would be good for me.
Anti-cliff mod, yeah. I like that. Yeah.
I'm always finding cliffs. It doesn't matter what game I'm doing, I will find a cliff accidentally, and I will fall down it. There's my thing. But yeah,
so why don't you so what you should do is you guys ever seen the old Warner Brothers cartoons?
Yes, right? Yes, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you need Wile E. Coyote mod. So when you walk up the cliff, you just go like this.
Yeah,
and you have about 5 seconds to run back.
Yeah,
or, right.
Or at least do the running motion and then fall down.
Yeah, the running motion
with
like
a little puff of smoke at the end.
That'd be great. Somebody's got to do that, man. I think
absolutely.
That's cool.
Absolutely, yeah.
Tarl, anything else you want to chit-chat on, or are you good?
No, I mean, other than the priest thing.
Yeah, criminal. Absolutely criminal. It's really priest mods.
I need to cross, let's cross some the priest in there. Yeah. With crime scene cleaner. That works.
Yeah.
That's actually, like, you know, that would work, I think.
Yeah.
Why not?
Or they can have his GTA mode as a priest running around slapping some nuns around. Kidnapping kids.
Don't go there. Oh, no.
No, let's not talk about priests and kids in the same sentence.
No,
come on.
Yeah.
No, especially in light of some things that have been going on.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think I'll be the bigger man.
That's right. Yeah. All right. We're going to get into the quiz because I know, I don't think we covered it last week, so we didn't have time because we had all those technical difficulties going on. No.
I never miss an episode of the Extreme Gaming Podcast. Well, mainly because they hired me to work for them.
Yeah, except for the second one.
In Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain, is the name of the mercenary group that Snake leads? In Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain, what is the name of the mercenary group that Snake leads?
The Group of Snakes.
Yeah. The Cobras, no.
No, it's not Cobras.
No, I know.
It's not the Greyhounds.
I'll give you a big hint. It has nothing to do with snakes.
Oh, then I'm out.
I can't remember now. I didn't have it last week. I was thinking of it, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah, you were reading them last week. I never got to it. But the answer is Diamond Dogs.
Yeah, I was about to say Diamond, but I was like, no, that's too easy.
Oh, yeah, them Diamond Dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, this one should be a little easier if you're familiar with Minecraft. Mm. In the game Minecraft, what is the name of the main enemy mob?
Harry.
Harry?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Ender somethings?
The who?
Ender something?
No. The main enemy mob. There's more than one mob, but the main enemy mob.
No, they're not enemies, are they? All right, can you tell I've never played Minecraft?
Yeah, but you named villagers. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't know what villages were until I watched a Minecraft movie.
Yeah, me too.
And all of a sudden, these I was like, what are these things? Like, it looked like square-headed
Can I answer it in Minecraft language?
Well, the answer is creeper.
Creepers.
The main mod is a creeper. Your main enemy mob.
Okay, I thought the creepers are the ones that blow up.
I don't know. They're the main enemy mob. That's all I know.
Are they? Because you got the skeletons.
All right, you got to get this last one. You guys got to get this last one. I made this one easy. Okay, which game series features a character named Aloy?
Horizon.
No idea.
Oh, Tarl, come on. It's been all over the place.
Horizon.
No idea.
Well, ding, ding, ding. He got it. Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. I knew I could never win against Matt.
What do you got?
It's like
other
a
one?
Walking game dictionary.
Actually, since we started doing these quizzes, Matt's like a little ahead of everyone.
A little. Yeah. I bet he's a lot ahead.
That's it.
Well, I'm trying to make us sound better than we were.
Yeah.
But. All righty. I appreciate everybody out there that's been listening. And we are just a little bit short, but not much. But I appreciate everybody who comes on. And I appreciate you guys for coming on, obviously. So
I appreciate you, Craig.
Thank you. I appreciate that. See?
I appreciate
going on.
That it was Easter and I had chocolate and I'm happy bunny. I'm a happy bunny.
A happy chocolate bunny?
Yes.
There Ooh, bunnies.
Yes.
You remember when they used to make the bunnies solid chocolate?
I thought you were going to say something else then.
No, years ago they were solid chocolate. No hollow bunnies, man.
No.
And now all the bunnies are hollow.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're twice the price.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's crazy price. Now, just for a single small one as well, it's like $4 or $5, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah. You get like the little bunnies now, don't you? And the Maltese bunnies.
I haven't bought one of them in so long, I don't even know.
That's it. And you used to get those ones that were, what are the ones? Easter eggs with things inside them.
Oh, like the Cadbury eggs and
the Smarties, and you used to rattle your egg. People
was in for one too. There was another one. Kinder eggs. Remember those?
Oh yes.
Ooh, yummy. I could eat 100 Kinder eggs.
And the toy
as
well.
There's always like some goofy prize inside it.
Absolutely. And the stickers that came with them.
You're not allowed those, alright, Greg? Aren't they banned in the US?
Yeah, Greg keeps eating the toys.
What? Oh, they were for a little while.
Throwing away the Greg. Chocolate.
Alright, we're gonna be going. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye.